Hello, everyone. I'm Savin Reddy. I'm here with Rajesh Dadia, and today we're going to talk about Azure Data Lake. So, Raj, you know, recently Microsoft talked about Cortana Analytics Suite, and now we're going to talk about Azure Data Lake Storage. How does it fit in with Cortana Analytics Suite?
Yeah, so think of Azure Data Lake Store essentially as the storage substrate of Cortana Analytics. So essentially, it's a place where you can store your data persistently. And not only you can ingest the data, but you can run analytics on it, and you can show, you can essentially produce new data and store the results. So the service essentially provides a way for customers to essentially keep the data at one place.
And you know, since I know Cortana Analytics Suite contains more in terms of storage, like Azure Blob Storage, how do those relate?
Yeah, so the key differentiation here is that Azure Data Lake Store service is optimized for the analytics workload.
Got it.
So the Blob Store is a general purpose storage. It has many different use cases, whereas if you look at the Azure Data Lake Store, the key use case is essentially about analytics.
Computation, not just storage.
That's correct.
Okay, great. And now we've said the word Azure Data Lake Store several times now. Can we just crisply understand, what is it?
Yeah, so think of it as like a hyperscale repository for any data, which is optimized for big data analytics workloads. Mm-hmm. That would be like a one-line definition of the service that we're offering. If you want to elaborate essentially the different parts of it, the key thing essentially to note are it can store any data in its native form. It's a Hadoop file system in the cloud. It's built for the enterprises, and it has no limits to scale.
Now, you know, we built Azure Data Lake Store for a reason. People are having, you know, challenges. Could you elaborate a little bit more on what those challenges are for customers?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, we have internally a lot of experience running big data systems at Microsoft. We have a service, Microsoft HD Insight service, that customers are using. And we've talked to a lot of customers. Through these interactions, what we learned is essentially in the big data space, when it comes to the store, there are few challenges customers face regularly. One of them is essentially the fact that, you know, your data is in silos and you need a mechanism to bring that data in a single place so that you can run different kind of analytics. The other is around essentially running different kind of applications. Open source has a variety of applications that are coming out that have been there and new development is happening. How do you ensure that all of these applications can take advantage of the data when it's sitting in one place?
You want all your applications on all your data. That's the challenge.
Right. The third challenge, as I think about it, is around perf and scale. So from scale perspective, if you're building something like a data lake, you want to ensure that you're future-proofing it. What it means is that you want to build your data lake on an architecture that can scale. We see too often customers essentially running into problems when it comes to scaling the data to a point, you know, where they have to do some kind of re-engineering, you know, once they've sort of bet on a particular architecture. The other piece around here is performance. The data lake or the storage, underlying storage system, it has to support analytics applications need from the performance perspective. What it means is that when you run like a MapReduce job or a batch job, you should be able to run it in parallel at massive scale.
Yeah.
And the last problem is around security. Security is important. You have enterprises, you know, who have implemented policies and governance mechanism. And when you are trying to implement a data lake, you want to ensure that it fits into that system and it can, you shouldn't have to essentially rebuild that.
I take advantage of what you already have.
Right.
Now we're going to go into deeply all those topics. But before we get there, you know, it isn't just a technology, data lakes. Right.
Right.
It's an approach and a way of thinking. And I know you're very passionate about explaining this. Could you just elaborate?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. So when you look at the different approaches to analytics, there are you can think of it as essentially in two different categories. You have the top-down approach, generalized, if I say so. In that, you have data sources that you want to analyze. You take the approach of building a schema first, and then you transform the data to fit that schema. You have a theory or a hypothesis a priori that you are trying to validate. You want to make observations against that theory. So you build your data warehouse, for example, you know, to essentially fit that model, and then you bring the data in and you run your analytics. The data lake approach is essentially a bottoms-up approach. It's you can think of it as kind of like the reverse of the data warehousing approach in some sense, where you're not worrying about transforming the data or a structure. You're getting the data in one place, and you're running your analytics. You observe some patterns, and then based on that, you build some theory or a hypothesis. So in one case, you can classify the approach as sort of like the diagnostics analytics, and in the other approach would be more like the prescriptive analytics, which is, in the previous case, I can answer questions like, what happened in the past, why it happened, whereas in the data lake approach, I can see patterns which are going to tell me what's going to happen in future. How can I make a change?
You know, so one's sort of looking back in terms of the questions, one's looking forward in terms of predictive, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And I also see there's a bit of agility there. So you can adapt to new data sources as they come. You don't have to schematize too early.
Yeah, I mean, the key difference is that in the former case, you have a schema and you're writing to that schema. Whereas here, there is no schema, and you're essentially building the schema and your analytics application on read.
Got it.
So schema on read is a good way to kind of think about it.
Now, you know, I know data lakes have existed on premises, and now we're talking about a data lake in the cloud, right?
Yeah.
So how do they compare?
So typically when customers build data lakes on premises, Hadoop data lake is a pattern, and most customers we know, they build this pattern today using Hadoop. On premises, you build a Hadoop cluster, you procure hardware, and that hardware comes with some capability to run computation as well as store data. So when you scale this cluster, you scale in the units of the nodes. So you buy more hardware to scale your needs as your business grows. Compare that to the approach that is more prevalent in the cloud, or at least the way we like to think customers should be building, is firstly having a mechanism to be able to scale computation separate from store. So it gives you this lever to grow in one dimension if you so choose to, or if your business is growing like
without paying the cost for the other dimension.
Exactly. So now with that in mind, the offering Azure Data Lake gives you this flexibility to scale both compute and store independently. Azure Data Lake Store, which is what we're talking about here, gives you the ability to scale your storage. Azure Data Lake Managed Clusters, formerly known as HD Insight, gives you the ability to scale your analytics engine as it grows.
So just fit your needs at the time.
Exactly.
Got it. And now, you know, I know we've talked before about Azure Data Lake Store and the concept of any data.
Yeah.
And what does that really mean?
Yeah. So that's a good question. What we mean by any data is that the underlying storage system is not imposing a limitation as far as the structure of the data is concerned. You can store unstructured data, semi-structured data, or fully structured data. It's a choice that you make depending upon what the data source is. And underlying data lake store is not mandating a certain kind of schema in which you should be storing the data. If you look at how customers build data warehouses, the traditional approach, you think of the schema, to my former point that I made earlier, whereas the data lake approach does not mandate that. And so the underlying store should facilitate that principle. And that's really what we're talking about here.
So I think some of the pain, am I hearing this right, is that when people start getting a lot of data, they have to do special things there, like convert to a different format or cut it up into smaller pieces. None of that's necessary, because Azure Data Lake Store just handles it.
That's
in
right.
Whatever format, at whatever size.
That's right, okay. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, when applications do make that choice, as long as the analytics engine can decipher that, that's totally fine. The storage, the key point here is that the storage is not imposing any particular format or any particular structure at the time of storage.
Got it. Now, we're talking about a store that has a lot of data, and people have a lot of data. Exactly how do they get data into and out of Azure Data Lake store?
Right. So today, customers have data at various places. I mean, if you take like a typical enterprise customer, you know, they have lots of data on premises. They also have cloud applications running in their private cloud or in, you know, public cloud. In either case, you know, once you take the approach of building the data lake, the first thing you have to think about is like, how are you going to get all this data into the data lake? So you got to have a rich set of tools. Fortunately, we have a good set of tools that we offer in as part of the Azure ecosystem. So, for example, Azure Data Factory Service, which is fully integrated with Azure Data Lake Store, helps you move data from anywhere to the data lake. And with that, you can sort of specify the sources. You have connectors built in, you know, for the data factory service, and using those, you can move data from relational sources as well as unstructured data, you know, that might be sitting in the blob store. Say, for example, your web application is writing that data into the blob store. Data Factory can help you move that. There are other tools that we have built to make sort of the ease of use here from the developer's perspective, because Azure Data Factory, it's a great tool, and it can help you operationalize many of the sort of data integration pipelines. For a developer who is developing big data application on their client, you have a rich set of tools, you know, where you, if you discover some kind of data source that's interesting to you in the cloud, you can download it, you can upload it into your data lake, or you have an option to essentially move data from your blob store directly into your data lake. And so this gives you various mechanisms. There are other use cases, such as moving streaming data into data mm-hmm. lake, and integration with the Azure Streaming Analytics Service, as well as the Azure Data Lake Managed Cluster Service, the Storm workload specifically, also helps, you know, in terms of moving the streaming data to the data lake.
And does it include also being able to get data from Event Hub?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, the typical pattern we see customers implementing is that the data comes in, the event-based data or the IoT data comes to the Event Hub. You typically process this data in Azure Stream Analytics Service or Azure Managed Cluster Service, and then you move this data to the data lake.
Got it.
As you're processing it, essentially, that the data lake in this case serves as a persistent store.
Got it. Now, how about getting data out? Anything different there?
Yeah, actually, the data, getting the data out, which is the egress, as we like to call it, exactly complementary of the ingress. We have the same set of tools that work in both directions. And so they help you not only get the data in, but, you know, once you process the data, you prepare the data for various reasons, or you learn some kind of, let's say, models, you know, machine learning models. You want to deploy these. You have the same set of tools that can, again, operationalize these data pipelines. So Azure Data Factory can help you do that again.
Now, you've mentioned before about, you know, HDFS with a cloud, Hadoop file system for a cloud.
Yeah.
What's the significance of that?
Yeah, so the key thing here is that the Azure Data Lake service, the store portion of the service, is built ground up as a Hadoop file system. What we mean by that is this notion of files and folders that we've implemented, that's like Hadoop file system. So customers who run these Hadoop workloads in their on-premises system, these workloads process the data in a certain way. They either process the data that's coming into a certain directory structure, or they write the data into, you know, a certain kind of directory structure. As far as those semantics are concerned, we preserve those Hadoop file system semantics, make that available in the cloud as part of the Azure Data Lake Store service.
So for all intents and purposes, it will behave just like an HDFS store?
Absolutely. Okay. So the second piece to that, which I was going to get to, was it has it supports the Web HDFS API, which is a REST-based interface to HDFS, so designed for cloud, essentially. So we implement this interface for Azure Data Lake Store service. And the idea there is that once you have this in place, all the existing open source application can run directly against this service.
Got it. It's already compatible with these tools. Now, you know, of course, Microsoft has a big interest in enterprise customers. How have we made Azure Data Lake Store suitable for their needs?
Right. So there are three key pieces when it comes to the needs of an enterprise customer. Security and compliance are kind of closely related. That's one need. And then it's about the availability and the reliability of the service when it comes to cloud. So elaborating that on a little bit, from the security perspective, the three key things customer care for are essentially authentication, authorization, and auditing. And all of these three capabilities are provided by the Azure Data Lake Store service. For the authentication piece, the service integrates very tightly with the Azure Active Directory. Mm-hmm. This helps you manage one set of identities between on-premises and cloud. And so I'm not managing multiple identities, mm-hmm. one for the cloud, one for the on-premises. It also lets you take advantage of some of the role-based aspect of security. So I can essentially group a bunch of users that I want to give access towards the data in the data lake. They can be managed through the grouping mechanism. Mm-hmm. From the authorization perspective, again, the fact that we've implemented this as a Hadoop file system, the security authorization model remains the same. You can specify ACLs on these objects, and you can specify these permissions in terms of users, groups, and implement those ACLs on those objects, which are underlying files and folders. And from that point on, it operates just like, you know, it would have operated in your on-premises.
And this is just normal POSIX security?
Yes.
Right? And we can take advantage of Active Directory in Azure.
Absolutely.
As the identity
file. Yeah, you're essentially wiring it with the Azure Active Directory identity system. And then lastly, you have auditing capabilities. You can see at what point a certain action was taken against the data lake itself as a whole or a particular piece of data that is sitting in the data lake. And lastly, from the security compliance perspective, encryption is a key functionality that will be available when the service GAs. Mm-hmm. So when the service is generally available, customers will be able to take advantage of the server-side encryption capability, where they will optionally also have choice to manage their key through Azure Key Vault service. So there's another piece to this, you know, which is fully integrated with the Azure Data Lake Store service.
And when you say encryption, you're not just saying we encrypt over the wire and transfer, also actually on disk at rest, it's encrypted.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's when we talk about security and encryption from the data lake perspective, data at rest is something we emphasize a lot on, you know, through this mechanism. The second set of things from the enterprise perspective is the availability of the service. So there, you know, our target is to make the service available to the same degree where all of our other Azure services are. So three nines is our target for when the service is generally available. Mm-hmm. And as far as durability of the service is concerned, multiple copies of the data is stored. And as we sort of move along, get closer to the general availability of the service, we'll also provide the Jira application capability for the service. Okay.
Now, you know, another phrase that often comes up with Azure Data Lake Storage is no limits to scale and how it scales to sort of different performance, different workloads, performance for those workloads.
Yeah, so the key thing here from the scale perspective is that Hadoop is a scalable architecture, but as you move to the cloud and you look at alternatives as far as the underlying storage system is concerned, you have certain limitations imposed depending on the service architecture. And based on our experience, one thing we right away sort of set out as one of the design principles was that the service was designed from the perspective of this mantra of no limits to scale. So the service architecture lets customer grow their data lake to whatever size they would like to. But not only that, you know, you have sometimes limitations imposed on how big a particular object can be within a data lake. And so there again, you know, we have no limits in terms of how big an individual object can grow or how many objects can you store in the data lake. So when customers are implementing the data lake using this solution, they're free from this particular limitation that they might face in future.
So there's no limit to the amount of data in the entire lake. There's no limit to the number of files in the lake. And there's no limit to the specific size of an individual file in the lake.
Exactly.
Those are all the
notes. That's really the key summary.
Okay.
Now, to your other point, related to the performance and, you know, how it's optimized for analytics workload, because that's sort of like the second piece to the data lake. You kind of have to take a step back and think about the different analytics workload you could be running as a customer. You could have batch workloads, you could have interactive workloads, or you could have streaming workloads. And when you're thinking about implementing a data lake, you have to think about, is my underlying system, storage system, capable of serving to all these three different classes of applications? So when it comes to the batch mode applications, for example, the Azure Data Lake Store Service provides this capability to massively parallelize the workloads. Clearly, you parallelize these workloads in your analytics engine, but the access to the data has
also
to be served from the underlying storage system. So the system has to respond to the needs of the analytics application in terms of the underlying throughput and the latency at which you access the data.
So it can the store can parallelize with the compute.
Exactly.
Okay.
It can serve the need of the compute. Mm-hmm. So if you have thousands of mappers running against a single piece of data or multiple objects, the store service can respond to those that application and provide the throughput that it needs. The data itself, the beauty is that the data itself could be a single file. Internally, we've tested, you know, petabyte file size files and computation against that, and the storage service scales to provide hundreds of mappers or thousands of mappers to operate against a single petabyte file.
So even if it's one file, it's parallel read.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the other piece here is around some of the use cases where you have streaming data or transactional data where the data comes in small batches, say kilobytes versus megabytes. And the latency at which you can process the data matters, because typically this data is coming from sort of low-end devices which have limited resources, and they really care for low latency when they're writing the data. So the Azure Data Lake Store Service has the capability to provide low latency for small writes, and this further down helps Hadoop workloads such as Edgebase, you know.
Right. And this is this helps all those Internet of Things scenarios, right?
Yeah, that's another use case, clearly, that's where it's really useful.
Okay, Raj, so, you know, at the end of all this, what would you like people to take away about Azure Data Lake Store?
Yeah, so four things I would like the audience to take away. Firstly, the Azure Data Lake Store Service supports any data, and what we mean by that is it supports structured, semi-structured, or unstructured data. It doesn't impose any limitations as far as the schema of the data is concerned. It supports all Hadoop applications, and so what it means is it's built on open standards, it can support present-day Hadoop applications as well as the innovations that are going to come out as part of Hadoop ecosystem in future. It's built for enterprises, so enterprises who care for security, who care for availability, they can directly take advantage of the capability of this system. And lastly, it's built for the needs of an analytics workload. So the scale and the performance design points have been optimized essentially for your analytics workload, whether it's batch, interactive, or streaming workloads.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Raj. I really appreciate
it. It was great being here. Thank you, Sweet.